What is your all-time favorite hymn? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to vote for your favorite hymn. Send an email with your vote to hymnvote@issuesetc.org, and during the week of August 9th, we'll study the top five hymns chosen by Issues Etc. listeners. Voting ends July 25th. Vote today for your favorite hymn, hymnvote@issuesetc.org. A hymn for any time of the church year is fine. hymnvote@issuesetc.org.
I've met with leaders from America's religious communities, like Pastor Hybels. People of different faiths and beliefs, some liberal, some conservative, who nonetheless share a sense of urgency.
Again and again, we heard stories about the economic hopelessness that first drew them to this great country, and we heard about their current daily dilemma, living in an almost surreal state of limbo.
Political science professors found that when they looked at all the writings the founders used and relied on and quoted, they found 3,154 quotes. The most quoted source was the Bible. 34% of their quotes came out of the Bible.
One of the problems that evangelicals have is that they think that just quoting miscellaneous passages from the Bible makes a person a Christian. Nonsense!
Well, this is good news. I really think it is. Although the political means by which Missouri passed or had enacted finally a law requiring ultrasounds before abortion is a bit confusing. We'll try and clear up some of that confusion here. There is a new pro-life law in Missouri, and it has to do with ultrasound. Pam Fichter joins us for the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. live this Thursday afternoon, the 15th of July, to talk about that law in Missouri. Then a little bit later, Chris Roseborough will join us. There's been a changing of the guard at the Crystal Cathedral in California from father to daughter. Our call-in number for the next hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, by the way. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at @IssuesETC. After our conversation with Chris Roseborough about the Crystal Cathedral and the new leadership there, Dr. Rod Rosenblatt will be here for the fourth part of a five-part daily series on Christ alone. We'll talk about the offense caused by the teaching of Christ alone, the necessary offense of Christ alone. Dr. Rod Rosenblatt of the White Horse Inn. Pam Fichter is a regular guest. She's president of Missouri Right to Life. Pam, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
So has the Missouri Governor Jay Nixon come over to the pro-life position here?
Well, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, that's part of our prayer, is that everybody has a conversion and embraces the culture of life. So that would be wonderful. I don't know if that's the case, and we certainly will be surveying him on that and seeing if that is indeed the case. We have this year, not only did he allow this legislation to become law without a veto, but he also upheld 90% of the funding for the Alternatives to Abortion programs at a time when budget cuts are, the rule of the day. So we've had two very good actions from the part of this governor who is, always considered to be pro-abortion.
So how did it happen politically? He simply permitted by inaction this to by default become law? Is that how it works?
Yes. The Missouri Constitution gives the governor so many days when legislation is put on his desk, and he has the choice of either signing the legislation into law, vetoing it, or basically ignoring it, and then it automatically becomes law. And that's what he's done in the situation of SB 793, which we call the ultrasound legislation, but there's a lot more in it but that. But he did not veto the bill, and so it will become part of Missouri law at the end of August.
What exactly does this new law in Missouri call for?
Well, it's probably one of the best, if not the best, pro-life bill that we've ever passed in Missouri, and it includes a number of things. It's called the ultrasound legislation because it requires that the abortion clinic, the abortionists, have to offer the mother an ultrasound image of her unborn child 24 hours before getting an abortion. But then it also includes other, wonderful stipulations that will expand the woman's right to know. It requires that the woman has to meet with the doctor face-to-face, that the counseling cannot be done by phone, and that the abortionist is required to inform the mother as to the development of her unborn child, the child's ability to feel pain. It has to supply a brochure that proclaims that the life of each human being begins at conception and that abortion will terminate the life of a separate, unique, living human being. I mean, this is just wonderful information, truthful information for the mother to know. She'll also be informed as to the alternatives to abortion, the responsibilities of the father under Missouri law. But the bill doesn't stop there. It also allows Missouri to opt out of abortion coverage in the health insurance exchanges that were established by the new federal health care plan. So this, all of these features of this legislation makes this certainly one of the strongest pro-life bills that's ever become law in Missouri.
With only about a minute here, so it sounds like it does not require of the woman that she receive an ultrasound, but only that the abortionist offer her and perform one if she agrees to one. Is that correct?
Well, they have to offer it to her, and in most cases they do the ultrasound because they need to determine how large the baby is and in order to decide what method to use to abort it. But they keep the ultrasound screen turned away from the mother so that she can't see it. They know what we know, that when the mother sees her baby's heartbeat, when she sees the outline, the image of her child, that she's much more likely to choose life. But this will require them to offer that image, to offer that ultrasound to the mother, and basically that baby can audition for life.
Pam Fichter is president of Missouri Right to Life. You find a link to Missouri Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Pam, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure. God bless.
Before I get started, it's been just a little over a year since Sheila has taken into the pulpit and stood with her father, and I can truly say this has been one of the most blessed years of my life, serving under this wonderful, wonderful leader. This church has a fantastic future thanks to her leadership, so I'm very excited about it.
That's Jim Penner. He is one of the pastors, CEO, and executive producer of The Hour of Power that is brought every week to so many television screens around the world from the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, where Dr. Robert Schuller has held forth for many decades. Well, he has handed the reins of leadership, at least pastoral leadership, to his daughter, Sheila Schuller. And joining us to talk about that is Chris Roseborough. He has a degree in religious studies from Concordia University, California, and he's host of the daily internet radio program called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on.
What does this mean in two senses? What does it mean that Dr. Schuller is handing this off to his daughter, and what does it mean that it's his daughter who will now be pastorally leading the Crystal Cathedral?
Well, in all bluntness, this is kind of the consummation of Robert Schuller's theology and doctrine that has drifted from the historic Christian faith's teaching, and his bringing his daughter in as a preaching pastor is well contrary to the clear teachings of the Word of God, and just shows you, I think, kind of in an accelerated way, what happens when churches get off the rails biblically.
What do we know about Sheila Schuller, who is taking the pastoral leadership there?
Well, she's got a tough road to hoe. I mean, she has earned her own degrees in her own right. It's not like she hasn't studied, but she definitely follows in her father's footsteps and tries to keep that positive, upbeat, self-esteem building message that is the Schuller brand alive, even more so than her brother did, and I think that's one of the reasons why she's more welcome in the pulpit than the previous Schuller sibling or child who vacated the pulpit about a year and a half ago.
Is this in a sense, Chris, something of a signaled shift, if you will, that for the first time, to my knowledge, a prominent, nationally prominent megachurch is now being led, not simply served by in some other capacity, but led by a female pastor.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, normally we see female pastors, prominent female pastors, in the mainline denominations or in the Word Faith churches. You know, this is, you know, this congregation, the Crystal Cathedral, was considered to be kind of more mainstream evangelical, even though its message was more positive and upbeat. And for many years, it was a flagship congregation that was teaching other pastors how to be seeker-driven before it, that was really before it really took off the way it did. In fact, Schuller was one of the early pioneers in this, and I think if they had had a female pastor on staff at the time, many of the pastors who learned from Schuller how to do what they do in church wouldn't have taken him seriously. So I think this represents kind of a watershed moment in what would be considered a mainstream evangelical Protestant-ish church.
Chris Roseborough is our guest. We're talking about the changing of the guard at the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. It's Thursday afternoon, July the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. When we come back from this break, we'll talk more about the Crystal Cathedral, its new leadership, and its old leadership. There is, with the changing of the guard, opportunity to reflect upon the impact that Dr. Robert Schuller has had on the theology of American Christians. And, of course, there is the inescapable connection with what is now, I imagine, perhaps kind of a waning influence as well in the likes of Rick Warren, Willow Creek, Saddleback, all those other influential megachurches that may be not as influential as they used to be, but it is very difficult to deny the connection between the theology of Robert Schuller and what the second generation of influential megapastors have brought to us. We'll talk about that after this. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. live on most smartphones? Just go to the Listen Live page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the smartphone link, and you can listen on your smartphone weekday afternoons between 3 to 5 Central. Old Theology, New Technology, Issues Etc. now broadcasting live to the world on most smartphones. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.
Christ-centered, cross-focused. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are, issuesetc.org.